Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Now, today I'm joined by a special guest. I've been kind of wanting to talk to her for a while. We had some scheduling stuff going on, but we got it all worked out. And despite all the craziness that's happening this year, she's finally able to join me this evening. And I'm able to interview her, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. So please allow me to introduce my guest, Andrea Capozzoli. Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so happy that you're here. Yeah.
Crazy year, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I kind of just want to jump right into this and get this thing rolling because, you know, you're an amazing guest. You've got those powerful pipes that you sing with, and I want to get your career out there and known to the people. So let's kind of get into the first question. And what would you classify your style of music as?
I've always found it hard to put myself into a box, but more like soul R&B. My new stuff has a little more of a rock edge. It's got a whole mixed mash of stuff, but probably like soul R&B with some jazz.
Okay. All right. And is there any particular reason that you're drawn to those styles?
I fell in love with jazz in high school, and I play trumpet as well. So I was learning actually jazz trumpet before I learned jazz vocals. So I really fell in love with jazz vocals, but I still really loved R&B. And then, you know, I heard artists like Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, Ledisi, even Joss Stone, who mixed like more blues and soul together and kind of a rock edge. I just developed my own sound with all of those influences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like being, you know, necessarily put into a box, do you have like a name for your sound that you would call it?
I would say more like neo soul.
Okay. All right.
A little rock edge, though. Like, there's some of the new stuff that will be coming out later this year, hopefully. Some of the guitars. It's really, my stuff has become really driven by the guitarist.
Oh, all right. That,
yeah, the distorted guitar, and it gives it more of that crunch that I always want. I say, come on, give me some distortion and make this thing drive. I'm really excited about the next project, but.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you were in Massachusetts at first, and is there like a big jazz scene there? Is that why you picked this up?
I actually grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. Yes, and I got a lot of schooling by the Pittsburgh jazz musicians, doing gigs, learning standards, getting out there and having a lot of people take me under their wing in Pittsburgh. And that was an amazing experience because there's a lot of jazz outside of, like, out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Okay. And then you moved to Massachusetts from there.
Yes. And I attended Berklee College of Music.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then I ended up teaching like a year after I got out of school. So kind of fell into the teaching scene too, which I've loved, as well as the performance.
Yeah. Between teaching and doing your own performances and trying to start your own musical career, I bet, you know, that's got to be rough budgeting that time.
I manage. Like, I think it's always a learning experience. You learn from your students, your colleagues, like, you're always learning and hearing new styles, and that's what I love about the teaching aspect of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, what about the musical aspect? What's your favorite part of creating music?
I love writing songs. I write a lot at the piano. And I'd say the thing that makes my songs more pop-oriented are the hooks. Because I love a good hook.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a particular hook, or like a particular hook from one of your songs that you like more than the other ones?
I think my favorite song is off of my last CD, Make Up Your Mind.
Okay. All right.
Has a more of almost a gospel-y feel to that one, but make up your mind before you get out of time. Ooh, now make up your mind before you get left behind. I love that hook.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's awesome. Now,
I had to give you a little example.
I appreciate that. And you just had earlier in the spring, you had Last Goodbye come out. And what was that all about?
I had a friend going through a breakup and was kind of inspired by that. And just a nice women's empowerment song. I came up with the hook first, but the whole time I'm thinking, please let this be her last goodbye. And then I just went around that hook and the idea of the song and kind of fell into place.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Well, that's cool. And she appreciated you doing a song about her situation?
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta roll with what inspires you, for sure. And at the time, that was just what I was feeling when I was writing and kind of went with it.
Cool. Do you just, like, walk around with a notebook or, like, one of those little voice recorders just in case, like, inspiration comes to you when you're, like, in the middle of grocery shopping or something?
That's usually when it happens, right? No, I like to use my voice memo. And if I have a really cool lyric idea, I'll go into the notes on my phone. If I don't have anything to write with, I still love a good pen and paper.
That's fair. Who doesn't?
I'm a little old school. I love jotting things down and getting my ideas out on pen and paper.
Absolutely. I can get behind that.
Yeah. And I'll scratch things out. I'm like, that doesn't work.
scratch, fix that lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I gotcha. Did, when you were beginning your musical career and you were initially putting stuff together, like, did you do gigs at, like, coffee shops or, you know, little bars or anything like that, or have you done, like, exclusively studio work?
I did a lot of gigs. Well, jazz clubs in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you, my first gig in Boston was the Odyssey cruise ship.
No.
Have you ever heard of the Odyssey?
I have not.
3-hour tour. It's I always got jokes about that. But yeah, that was my first gig. Here's a funny story. I broke my foot during my last year of college, and I had to get to the boat. I had to get wheelchaired down and sit on a stool while I was doing the gig. And I swear to God, the drummer took the crutches away, and I'm sitting there on the stool, like, after the set. I'm like, come on, give me my crutches. But that was a fun gig. I learned a lot on that and played with some amazing Boston musicians on there.
Right on. So you got your name out there pretty good in Pittsburgh.
No, that was in Boston.
Oh, in Boston. Okay.
Boston. I know. I have these two locations. I got Pittsburgh that's like, hey, Yinz guys. I'm total. You don't know what Yinzers are?
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, tell me. We have, instead of saying y'all, we say Yinz.
Ah, okay.
So we refer to ourselves as Yinzers, but I've been living here for a long time, so I split it 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Pack your car. I'm one of those now. No.
I like it. Pack your car. That's good. Well, okay, so what is your process for creating a song?
Sometimes I come up with a groove that inspires me on the keys. A lot of the time it is at the keyboard. Or I could just be walking around and working on a hook. But usually I'm sitting at the keyboard, and I'll get a groove going. And then I always usually like to start with the hook and then build the verses around that.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the most effective for me.
Okay.
But sometimes the verses come first. I think Last Goodbye, I had that idea in my head, and then I wrote the first verse, and then the chorus came flowing out.
Nice.
You never know what order. I mean, but most of the time I like to come up with a good concept or a hook.
Okay. Have you ever considered writing a song for another artist?
Yes. I actually had a student that bought one of my songs called The Second Time Around. She was a Japanese artist.
Oh.
That was a pretty cool project. I actually coached her in Japanese, and she was doing a lot of J-pop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then my song I wrote was all in English. I didn't write it in Japanese. I would have loved to, but...
Okay.
That's my one song that I have sold, and she did pretty well with it.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. Like... it's like your brainchild floating around out there.
Right. And especially pretty cool that it's in Japan. Like I've always, hopefully someday I get to go there and perform.
Yeah, absolutely. What was that? Alphaville had the song Big in Japan.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Did, is there anybody speaking of writing songs for another artist, like, is there an artist out there that you would really like to team up with?
One of my favorites is, who wouldn't love her, Lady Gaga.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Are you gonna wear a steak dress too, or just her?
My steak dress is out of commission, sorry. Maybe some sequins and something crazy, but no steak dress.
Well, I mean, that would be cool, though. I think your style working with her would be pretty cool, honestly.
Here's the funny thing. Anybody that knows me knows how much I loved Barbara Streisand. And when A Star Is Born came out, I was so biased. I was like, I don't know if I can watch it. And then when I saw Lady Gaga's, I was like, wow, she floored me. I thought she was amazing.
Nice. Where do you think you would be right now if music hadn't worked out for you?
Oh, I can't picture myself without music, but I have to say I love animals. Like, I have 3 dogs and 3 cats, or 2 dogs and 3 cats. We have 3 right now because my parents are visiting.
Oh.
But I think I would definitely do something involving animals, even if it was animal rescue, or that's my other passion. I just love animals.
Awesome. And speaking of parents, like, when you were going through college and had these aspirations to become a singer and strike out into the music industry, did you have a lot of support from them?
100% support since grade school. I always knew I wanted to do this.
Nice.
I couldn't have asked for a better support system, and they're my biggest fans. They have to be.
Yeah. I suppose they didn't have to be, but...
Yeah, they love me. They put up with me.
Now, do you have anything else? Like, you and I had talked in the pre-recording, and you're not doing any live streaming or things like that, but do you have any other projects that might be coming out soon that people should be watching out for?
Yes. I have a full album tracked, and it's going to be titled This Is Where My Heart's At. There's 10 songs. And I'm hoping to release that by the fall. I have to finish up some vocals and horns. And hopefully I'll be able to get down to New York to do that. That's where my band is.
Ah. So
I'm really excited about that project.
Why is the band in New York and you're in Massachusetts/Pittsburgh/wherever?
Actually, this is the funny thing. The guitarist who's doing some guitar work for me is in Pittsburgh, but we went to grade school together, Catholic school, St. Elizabeth. I went to high school with him and Berkeley. So he's playing guitar, but he's residing in Pittsburgh. And then everybody I pretty much met in Boston, and then they headed down to Brooklyn. I stayed here at Berkeley. But so I like being able to go down and record with them. And I love how they give my music their own twist, their own life to it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's good to have a band that you can really work with and sync, like you just work together so well that you can produce something so amazing.
It really is an amazing process with them. Like I'll have a certain idea and they'll say, well, let's do this one little different nuance or whatever they add. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. This is amazing. I wouldn't have thought to do that, but that's what's great about having worked with them for, God, the past 10 years.
Yeah.
They've really helped shape my music and give it a certain sound that I love.
I mean, it's a great sound. So y'all are on the right path in my book.
Thank you. Now we have fun together too. And they're like my brothers, my musical brothers. That's what I call them.
And it shows in the music that you all work really well together, and you can just tell that you're not just doing it because you have to, that you all enjoy it very much.
We really do. And we, you know, musical family. Love exactly. The guys. Call them my guys.
your guys. Do you prefer live shows or recorded shows?
I love live. I mean, there's just such a different sound live and an energy. That's just not the same as recording.
Mm-hmm. And do you think jazz just plain sounds better when it's live?
Jazz, yeah. Like, definitely. I mean, I don't know if you're aware that I recorded a jazz album as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. Well, this was a very special project because I got a recording grant at Berkeley, and it was with one of my former teachers, who is now 91 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she played piano on it, so it was very special for me to get to do that with her and my drummer and my bass player, who live in Brooklyn. they came up to Boston to record it. And now that was amazing. The Berkeley studio was beautiful. They just built this new studio. And
that's cool. That was.
So that was all recorded live, though.
Oh, well.
No overdubs. And not like you can do for pop music, but.
Right.
I really love that project. And that's titled Lessons.
Lessons. And no auto tunes or anything like that.
No auto-tunes. I don't think I really am auto-tuned. I'm going to go there and be the diva. No, the diva comes out.
Right. What's your most memorable show that you've ever done?
My most memorable show would have to be probably the Beantown Jazz Fest at Berkeley. There were 80 to 100,000 people. It was just... It was a pretty amazing adrenaline rush performing there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be insane.
Could be a tie with the Blue Note. I really had fun at the Blue Note gig. Hopefully be back with some of the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Beantown Jazz was great. It was just packed out there. And
right on.
The band, we had a whole... I don't think I had horns. Now I don't remember. But no, I had three backup singers and the full rhythm section, and it was just, the energy was there. Sometimes you don't have that energy on every gig, but that was one that where we brought it.
Right. Do you feel like when the crowd gets just amped up and they're pumped up and they're having fun that, you know, you kind of feed off of that energy?
I definitely feed off of that energy.
Right on. That's cool. So I got to ask, like, is there something within the industry that you wish that you could change?
Oh, I don't know. I guess there's always something.
But not coming to mind right now.
Not coming. Like I told you, I'll mention that I had a car accident and getting over a concussion.
Right. My bad.
No.
That was a toughie.
A little toughie there.
Well, I'll ask you this then, and don't worry, since this is all recorded, I can cut out whatever parts.
Okay.
So, what advice do you have for somebody that's just striking out in the music industry?
I'd say follow your heart, whatever genre you want to do. Keep working on writing songs. If you want to produce, work on that aspect of it. Try to do as much as you can, because then you can do the most for yourself.
Perfect. That's a good advice right there. I like it.
It really is. It's like I produce, I like to write, I sing everything, I play keys, trumpet. Just keep doing as much as you can.
Yeah. You played keys, you play the trumpet, you sing. Like, you're just multi-talented. Have you ever done all of those in one show?
I usually am like the one-man band. No, I'll with my original project, usually I'm playing keys, and then I'll pick up my trumpet and do a solo. Of course, I'm singing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to do all three.
That's awesome.
Totally work it up there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Got to get yourself out there.
Yeah. No, I love all three, and trumpet's always been something I loved. Since, like I said, I started when I was 9 and made sure to keep that going, because it means a lot for me to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said since you were 9, did you start music when you were 9, or were you participating way before that?
I did like choirs and stuff before that, but trumpet, I just totally picked up the trumpet and played a perfect G. I was like, my mother wanted me to play flute. She's like, look at this nice flute. And I'm like, bah, on the trumpet. I'm like, nope, I'm not a quiet gal.
I no longer speak. I just play the trumpet.
Right. And I did like classical orchestras in grade school and, you know, honors band. But then I got into jazz in high school and,
gotcha.
There you go. That's how I got into jazz. Mainly with love my trumpet.
There you go. Do you have any other hobbies that you do? I mean, when you are able to have some free time?
I like going to the gym. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of cycling since we don't have the gym option right now.
Right.
Just trying to stay healthy and cycling, doing Zumba, any kind of cardio I can do. And I love cooking.
All right, cool. What's your favorite meal to prepare?
I made the most amazing meal for my parents last night. I made Greek style haddock, which is one of my favorites.
Ooh.
I wasn't messing around.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Some spinach, tomatoes, and a nice marinade, everything from scratch.
Wow.
Now I'm Chef Capizzoli, as well as the singer, trumpet player.
No kidding. Just
piano.
So well-rounded.
Love it. Yeah, I've been just putting into cooking fresh, no low sugar, you know, just healthy while I'm quarantined here.
Right. Right. I've gone the opposite direction, so we're good there.
It's hard because, you know, my husband buys sweets and I'm like, I make him hide them.
Oh.
I'm like, put those away. And then I'm like, give me one. And I'm like, no, don't give it to me or I'll yell at him. He can't win. He either hands it over and I yell at him, or he gives me the treat and I yell at him.
Right. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, in these times when nobody really knows what's going on, I mean, snacks are the one constant that everybody can turn to.
Right. I'm trying really hard not to turn to them, but...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, with this last little bit of the show, I would like to open the floor up to you, and you can tell the listeners all your different social medias and website, whatever you've got going on, that they can go and follow along with you.
Great. Thank you. So my single, Last Goodbye, is available on Bandcamp. And that would be Bandcamp, Andrea Capizzoli. Mm-hmm. Hard. No one ever spells it right. That will be on the podcast, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll provide links to your social medias as well. So if they don't type them in while you're saying them, they can click the links down below.
Great. Okay. Can I redo that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to let everybody know that my single, Last Goodbye, is available on Bandcamp, at AndreaCapozzoli/Bandcamp. You can find my music on my website, AndreaCapozzoli.com, and all of my CDs and the single are available on Spotify, Apple Music, and all other streaming platforms.
Nice. Heck yeah. Now, do you like a Facebook or a Twitter, or you're on YouTube, right?
Yes, and Instagram.
Okay, all under Facebook. Andrea Capozzoli? Capozzoli? Yes. Okay, awesome. Beautiful. Well, like I said, I'm going to put links to that in the podcast description so that the listeners can just click on them and off they go.
Awesome.
Perfect. Well, Andrea, in these last little minutes of the show, I want to say thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. You are an amazing lady to talk to. Even with everything that you've had going on, you provide an amazing interview. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you to all the listeners out there who tuned in to check this out. Please, please click the social links and follow along. Andrea's got that album coming out and you're not going to want to miss it. Make sure to go to her social medias, follow along, and check out her stuff that she's already put out, as I have. You're going to love it. It's great. It's just really chill, relaxed music, in my opinion. I have fun with it. So thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you all next time.